This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
This is Meet the Movie Press. It is March the 15th, 2019 on the show this week. South by Southwest, the recap. Marvelous box office and no Bohemian Rhapsody sequel. Plus the big releases and the box office and more. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Meet the Movie Press.
This is Meet the Movie Press. Hello, my name is Simon Thompson. You can find me on social media at ShowbizSimon on Instagram and Twitter. If you want to follow this show on social media, it is at Meet Movie Press. Thank you for joining us. With me, as always, a panel of veritable people. Dimitri, first of all, who are you? Where can we find you?
At first, I thought you said vegetable people.
Keep talking. We've got a lot to get through.
My name is Dimitri from the Popcorn Talk, Meet the Movie Press. You can also find me on Anatomy of a Movie, and you can support me on the Twitters at dmovies1701.
Scott, welcome back from South by Southwest.
Welcome back.
Who are you? Where can we find you?
Thank you. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at the other Scott M, and you can go to weliveentertainment.com to read up on all my South by Southwest reviews.
Dude, you were busy.
Yes,
super
very much
busy.
You were busy.
Let's kick off with South by Southwest. A couple of big movies came out. A couple of movies got really good response. Some people got an over enthusiastic response, and some movies did not get much of a response whatsoever. Okay, so pick your top three from South by Southwest this year and tell me why.
Ooh. Well, I want to first and foremost say that unlike any other film festival, yeah, South by Southwest is very strange because it's a studio festival. Mm-hmm. It has become a studio festival. People do not go there for the small indies that are going to break out.
Which is what used to be the case.
And what most film festivals are. This one, not so much. It has become a studio premiere database, I guess you can say, and a way to test films to see, like, let's see if this works. Mm. Two of which of those films were Stuber, which is the movie with Kumail Nanjiani.
Which screened quite late in the festival.
It did.
That was Wednesday night?
It was, yeah, Wednesday night, and, you know, was a ballsy move, too, by the way, by Fox.
Yeah.
Because press leaves usually either on Sunday or Monday.
Yeah.
So
I was very surprised.
There's three reviews for this movie up so far. It's me, Hollywood Reporter, and Variety. So that's it. I don't think they're going to be getting a lot more. That being said, I think the movie is good enough. Mm-hmm. It can use a little bit of tweaking, and I think that's the reason why they showed it here,
yep,
to kind of gauge the reaction. The other one that I don't know what's going to happen with it, but, I mean, it's going to probably do pretty well, is Good Boys, which I absolutely hated.
I saw your reaction to that.
Yes, I absolutely hated this movie. And I was very happy because something happened when, yep, I was at South by Southwest that ties into this film that I will not mention on air. Which made me say, good. I'm very happy that this movie's gotten mediocre reviews so far, because what they did was really shitty.
You just weren't a good boy.
Yeah, I don't get, it's essentially super bad retold, but through, you know, like tween eyes, and that's really it.
Wait, I mean, I'll be honest with you, the trailer came out around the same time that it screened
Southwest. On purpose, right.
And there are two movies that have held back their trailers. One was Good Boys, and one was Stuber.
Yes.
Because I was trying to get hold of that before the festival. Good Boys, I'll be honest, I know you didn't like it, and it has had mediocre reviews. It really tickles my funny bone, because I do love a good gross-out movie, and I do love a movie with some really smart smut.
I wouldn't say it's smart at all. You know, if you want to talk about smart, we can go to Booksmart, which I think...
Another movie that got a lot of talk.
Yeah. This movie,
very positive,
is fantastic.
Right.
I do want to call out the studio, however, for shamefully putting Will Ferrell and... what's the guy who did Vice? Adam McKay's name before Olivia Wilde's name in the trailer. I thought that was a real douche move. But the movie itself, again, nothing like the trailer leads you to believe. The trailer focuses on all this like raunchy comedy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of that in there, but it's really character driven and the dialogue is really smart. Some of the stuff that goes on in the film is really clever. I don't want to spoil anything about the film.
Yeah.
And Beanie Feldstein and I think it's Caitlin Dever are really, really good as this nice pairing. And I want to say that it's refreshing to see a studio film where the lead actress is a plus size. And there is no jokes about that. There's no Fat Amy references where she's falling down. She's actually smart. She's sophisticated. She's really likable.
Yeah.
And she has real flaws. Flaws where she looks at other people and she kind of judges them. But I think that's very realistic. I think a lot of people are like that in this world, where they just look at others and make judgments without really knowing them.
Yeah.
So I really like that. And then lastly, I have to, you know, of course, mention this is Us, which I just want to tell everyone, Us is good.
And it's Us, not This Is Us.
This is, you know how many freaking jokes they made about that? Like they literally came on stage and they were like, we're going to show 3 episodes of This Is Us instead. I was like, okay. You know, this is Jordan Peele's follow-up to Get Out, and I know there's a lot of expectation. I mean, I cannot tell you how long that line was at South By for this movie. It, like, wrapped up around the Paramount, down the block. Half the people didn't get in. I haven't seen a premiere this big at South By Southwest in years. I've been going for 10 years. I think this is the biggest premiere they've ever had there. That being said, I feel like a lot of expectations were really high for this movie.
Yeah.
And as long as you go into this film not expecting Get Out, you should be okay. It is, without question, a step down from Get Out. That's not negative, because, you know, when you
but
have
that's
something
a step
that's
down from a high point.
Right, exactly. Yeah. When you have something that's like a 9 or a 10, if you're going down to an 8 or a 7, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
And it's essentially, it's nice because it's not the same thing. And it's something different. But just don't go in expecting your mind to be blown.
One movie I was really curious about this year at South by Southwest, it was one of the smaller movies, and I saw a little bit of talk about this online, but not a huge amount, was a movie called Porn.
Porno. Which I heard was terrible.
That's a real disappointment.
Yes, yeah, me too, because it was something about, I didn't see it after a couple friends of mine went to see it, and apparently it's about...
Because the premise sounds great.
It's a group of
kids. Say what it's about,
It's a group of kids who go into a movie theater, and they find something attached to the Catholic Church in the movie theater.
Yep.
And apparently hilarity ensues, or I guess it does not. But, yeah.
Like I said, they discover they release a sexy succubus.
I know, it's... But I also saw another movie called Snatchers, which I thought was going to be great as well, about like a girl who hooks up with her boyfriend as he returns home from Mexico, and he has a baby that is unleashed into her that she gives birth to the next morning. And I thought it was going to be really funny, and it was not.
Oh.
Not so much. I mean, it was a very, if I'm being 100% honest, I saw 18 movies at South by Southwest. 5 of them I would really recommend. 4 would be like, maybe.
Okay.
And then the rest of them I would be like, you don't have to ever see these, and you probably won't.
You're probably going to go straight to Skeeter. So it wasn't a place where with some of those smaller movies, Netflix were going like, hey, take all my money, dollar bills, yo. No. If you're watching the show live, of course, you're more than welcome to join us in the chat. We always appreciate that. In there already, Zenow, BlackRock316, Nacho Man, Andy Cabbage. I like that name. Dimitri. Is in there as well. So there's quite a few people. Let's have a look at what people are saying already. They are saying, it was Nacho Man Andy Cabbage saying, South by Southwest is like one big party, seemingly. Austin Weird. Isaiah Spielu saying, I was in Austin. I would love to go to South by Southwest one day. This is from Zeno. Ashley's in the room. Ashley Menzel, hello. Caitlin and Beanie are to receive an award at CinemaCon. Zeno, add that to going to San Diego Comic-Con. So obviously Xena wants to go to both. Comic-Con I'm actually really interested about this year, because last year I thought was a very low year. The quality bar was very, very low and it's very unexciting. They've done a lot of changes with who's going to be there. And I'm waiting to see which of the studios and which of the television companies are going to go there, because the press coverage is going to be less bodies on the ground this year. They completely changed the way they're doing that. And I'll be honest with you, it's been overcrowded. So we'll see. And audiences seemed to be down last year on ticket sales. It didn't have that same feel.
You know, you mentioned something about South by Southwest that I said happened to Comic-Con, but I said this about Comic-Con about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Is that Comic-Con used to be, you know, pop culture and comics.
Yeah.
Once the studios got their claws in Comic-Con, then it became Studio Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And that's where Hall H, you know, the lines were around the block. A poor soul. It was an unfortunate tragedy. Somebody actually even died.
I remember that.
So, but now it seems less and less because the studios aren't dumping the money in. I mean, it costs a lot to throw in these presentations there at Comic-Con. And as you mentioned, the press, and last year seemed to be a down year, but every year I hear about it, you can't get through it. You can't walk through.
No, absolutely. So, and a lot of people also in the chat are talking about things like Comic-Con. We'll get, there's plenty more to talk about that in the future. Senior Nerd, going back to South by Southwest, no surprise the reviews are not so good, boy. Yeah, I mean, I think this is the kind of movie that was either going to be really like, oh my God, it's the next big gross out comedy, or it's going to just kind of hang there in the middle ground. And that's kind of, I think, where this is going to go. Ricky in the chat, hello all. Good to be back watching live. Good to have you back, Ricky. The Prince that wasn't promised. Good morning, all. Good morning. Nacho Man, Andy Cabbage. I've heard a lot of great things about Long Shot.
It is. It's
actually
amazing.
Saying Long Shot is great.
It is.
So let's talk about that, because that was another one that caught a lot of people's attention. That film that people hadn't been talking about, before Southwest.
Well, because of the original name. Because Longshot wasn't Flarsky. That was the movie.
Seth Rogen's character's name.
Yeah. It was originally called Flarsky, which actually I just like saying Flarsky.
I mean, this is an honest confession. I'm not a big fan of Seth Rogen. I really don't find him that funny every once in a while.
That's really good.
Thank you.
That's
awesome. If you're looking for a party where you want a Seth Rogen impersonator, I'll do that.
I thought he was here.
But it's really, you know, it's fascinating because the trailer did nothing for me. I don't know if you guys feel the same way.
I was very underwhelmed by the trailer, which is why I was so surprised to see everybody going like, holy shit, this is great.
Because it doesn't show how great their chemistry is.
Yeah.
And seeing Charlize Theron in this type of movie is so unique because, yes, she's done Tully and Young Adult where she's sarcastic and dry.
Mm.
But to kind of see her like play off Seth Rogen and actually make him better because of it, I think that's what makes this such a win-win.
She wasn't A Million Ways to Die in the West.
We don't mention that movie.
With Charlize Theron, and I don't mean this in a way that she just doesn't care about what she does anymore, but I think she, from looking at some of her choices in the movies that she's chosen to done in the last couple of years, it appears that she's giving a little less fucks about things like box office and just really doing stuff that she wants to do or finds interesting. Agreed. And it's not driven by, oh, it needs to be tentpole, or it needs to be big, or it needs to be dramatic, or going after something. It's just like she quite fancies doing something that lands on her lap, and she's like kind of like the Jake Gyllenhaal school of making movies, and the Robert Pattinson school of making movies, and even the Daniel Radcliffe school of making movies, where it's like, this won't be a massive movie, but it's something I want to do as a professional. Do you get that feel? Is this one of those that happens to have landed really well?
I think, you know, based on the fact that she hasn't done a studio comedy, and I think it's kind of funny because she's mentioned that in there, completely forgetting about A Million Ways to Die in the West, because I think everyone wants to forget that even happened.
I don't.
You don't?
I enjoyed it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. I thought she was great. And in fact, because of that, too, I looked at her and I said, wow, she can do comedy as well. Mm. And what I'm bringing up to your point is that you're right about her. And she tackles so many different genres.
Yeah.
And I love that. She can be in a Mad Max Fury Road, and then she can do a Dully. She can do a long shot. She's amazing. Atomic Blonde.
She's really good. She has a lot of range as an actress. And I mean, this was the first time that I've actually seen her in the public spectrum.
Yeah.
And she was actually having fun. I mean, I'm telling you, she had
people
fun.
Forget to do that.
She has a very serious past. I don't know if you know her history. Stuff happened to her parents, where really, really shitty things happened to her. So I get why she's more serious. But at the same time, seeing her on stage at South by Southwest this year, she was just having fun, especially when they brought out Boyz II Men, which there was this great little like mini concert that they brought out afterwards. And I mean, she was raw. She was just like in the corner jamming. She jumped up on the guy and started like dry humping. Like, she was just like all out. Now, she did mention she was drunk, so that's probably it was nice seeing that side of Charlize
Theron. Having interviewed her, I mean, I think last time was for Gringo. You can't win them all. Sometimes, you know what, you have to cover movies that you don't quite like.
Yeah. Maybe.
And be professional about it. Yeah. She was really funny. She has a very, very, very good and slightly dark sense of humor.
Yeah.
And she has a really filthy sense of humor.
Yeah, she does.
And I don't know why people haven't looked at her for comedy before. Maybe they have and it hasn't been the right project. She just hasn't felt it. But she's really funny. She's genuinely someone I would like to hang out with and just have a chat and have a beer or do whatever. It's like you're very rich. People think of you serious, but actually you have a wealth of other sides of your
personality. Yeah, I've seen her many. She's shown up to many a CinemaCon for a studio presentation. That's exactly how she is when she was doing interviews. Again, going back to Million Ways to Die in the West.
Yeah,
same thing.
And terrible like, film.
I kind of disagree. I like it.
Okay. But, well, I mean, you're wrong, but...
Sure. No.
Genuinely, I'm a Seth MacFarlane fan. I think that's one of the worst things he's done.
Oh, yeah.
It was done. But that, we disagree.
I just want to say one last thing before we move on.
We need to move on,
from South By. You know, I want to point out what you just said about Comic-Con and studio system.
Yeah.
I think the folks, and this is nothing against South By Southwest, but... South by Southwest is such a huge event, and it is dominated by the music and the interactive aspect of it, that I think they know that the film is very much secondary.
Mm-hmm.
And if it wasn't for the studios bringing these movies with the big stars, I think the film programming would be dead.
Yeah.
Because I went to so many screenings during... the afternoon or in the morning that were like the smaller films, and there was no, like, they couldn't even fill
part
up
part of that is going back to the thing about partying, because there's a lot of partying that goes on at South by Southwest. Yeah. So
it's a different kind of show, because it's not just movies, it's music.
Yeah.
I mean, when you have AOC showing up to these things, like, it's become a much more publicized kind of an event. When you're spending time saying, oh, AOC's here, it's like, okay.
But also, you've got to think about the fact that obviously the partying and the networking is a big part of events like this. And if you're out late at night and you're covering movies and then you need to do your work and you're out there networking and stuff, the time that you do your work is the following morning, which is kind of productive, because that's when some of the movies that you really want to see, some of the smaller ones, don't get covered. But also, it's also really difficult to cover the small movies and turn that into bank, because a lot of sites don't want to cover those smaller movies.
But I also feel like the same thing happens at Sundance. The same thing can be said about Toronto. There's a lot of parties that happen after these movies. Every single movie has a party afterwards, regardless of the festival. And the thing is that it's just the atmosphere and the vibe that's there.
Right.
And I think, you know, the people in Austin, you know, who live there, you know, they go to South by Southwest. Yeah. They like the movies. They're the people who go see the smaller ones.
Mm-hmm.
And if it wasn't for the studios bringing these movies with the big stars, I think the film programming would be dead.
Yeah.
Because I went to so many screenings during the afternoon or in the morning that were like the smaller films. And there was no, like, they couldn't even fill up.
Part of that is going back to the thing about partying, because there's a lot of partying that goes on at South by Southwest. Yeah. So,
it's a different kind of show, because it's not just movies, it's music.
Yeah.
I mean, when you have AOC
showing up to these things, like, it's become a much more publicized kind of an event when you're spending time saying, oh, AOC's here. It's like, yeah, okay.
But also you've got to think about the fact that obviously the partying and the networking is a big part of events like this. And if you're out late at night and you're covering movies and then you need to do your work and you're out there networking and stuff, the time that you do your work is the following morning, which is kind of productive because that's when some of the movies that you really want to see, some of the smaller ones, don't get covered. But also it's also really difficult to cover the small movies and turn that into bank because a lot of sites don't want to cover those smaller movies.
But I also feel like the same thing happens at Sundance. The same thing could be said about Toronto. There's a lot of parties that happen after these movies. Every single movie has a party afterwards, regardless of the festival. And the thing is that it's just the atmosphere and the vibe that's there.
Right.
And I think, you know, the people in Austin, you know, who live there, you know, they go to South by Southwest. Yeah. They like the movies. They're the people who go see the smaller ones. When it comes to the people in the industry, I don't see a lot of people in the industry going to see these smaller movies. They might get around if they decide to stay a couple extra days. They might go see one or two of them. But I think they're just there for like, hey, maybe my quote will be on the poster or in the trailer for this next movie.
We need to move on from this. But people saying, Ashley saying, yes, Long Shot is great. Going back to Long Shot. Nacho Man Andy Cabbage saying, Long Shot is on my 2C list for sure. Mohammed Lol is in this morning saying, will Tony Stark battle Thanos in Avengers Endgame again? We're going to talk about Avengers Endgame in a bit. And Zias Bilou on the Charlize Theron thing. Yeah, she's in that point in her career where she can do any genre she wants, to be honest. Xavier Jones saying, and Dimitri, Fox's Mouse Guard film and list. Yeah, I know. We saw that story this week. That's great. Also, guys, sometimes you see stories and you do throw them up in the chat. There are a lot of websites out there at the moment putting out a lot of incorrect information about projects. So just because you read it on a website, it doesn't actually mean that this is something that is true. What? So we won't always... I know. And it seems to be endemic at the moment more than it has been for a long time. So before we do these things, we're going to look into these topics and stories quite often. So let's talk. Very finally, before we go on this, and we'll keep this super quick, but Scott on this, Xeno Hour. So which is better, South by Southwest or TIFF? Ashley has said TIFF 100%.
Oh, there is no doubt. I mean, there's a difference when you go to TIFF.
Yeah.
Because you're seeing the quality. I'm sorry, South by Southwest. The quality of films that you see at Toronto are so much better. Mm. I'm sorry. Like, they're fun movies at South by Southwest. They know their audience. And this year they really capitalized on that with the comedies and the horror movies.
Well,
but they're hit and miss.
Does memory serve that Quiet Place came out of South by Southwest? Mm. Like, Paramount, like, that was the first time they screened it. It got so
And Ready
much,
Player right. One.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, that's I forgot how well that screening went last year.
Yeah.
Ooh. people went feral. They went mad. Okay, let's move on from this. We've got a lot of other stuff to carry on from the show. Thank you for your input on South by Southwest. We really appreciate it. And if you're watching the show and it's not live, if you're catching up on it, do feel free to go into the comment section on YouTube. And as well as you're giving it a thumbs up, which we really appreciate, and you're obviously going to retweet and share the link, do feel free to post comments in the comment section and we can respond to those as and when we can. Okay, moving on. Captain Marvel did quite well last week, soaring past expectations and the trolls. Watch out for the trolls with a year best $153 million opening. Very, very good. I said I thought it was going to be, I think last week, about 150, maybe 155. So this is in that margin. It's a lot of other people predicted as well. I'm not going to say I've got some sort of, you know, kind of highfalutin magical power. I'm not a wizard. Interesting. Surprised. What are your thoughts on that box office last week?
I actually think the negative, like, troll hate actually helped this movie.
I think it did too. I think it was massively had the opposite effect.
It's weird because I feel like there was not that much discussion about this movie. Mm. And then once that, you know, the white male critic thing came out again, it was, and all this hate was started, I feel like it was in the headlines for, what, 2-3 weeks?
Up to release of the movie. Almost like, a solid month, if not more, because this all started well before the movie started to screen.
It's funny because the same thing kind of, I mean, not to go off on this, but the same thing kind of happened to Green Book.
Yes, it did.
Because the first time, like, when Green Book came out, like, it didn't do that well, and Universal was like, ah, shit. And then all of a sudden, all the hate, and it kept being in the conversation, and it kept moving up in the box office.
Yeah, and don't forget regarding Green Book quickly is that it had the highest upticks post Academy Awards of a movie in 8 years.
Yeah.
The Green Book, as far as its box office.
Yeah.
Crazy.
But I mean, Captain Marvel, it's no surprise whatsoever. No. I mean, Disney was really pushing for this film, but also I really think that the hate, like, really intrigued people to go out and see it. I think people were like, you know what? I'm going to go see this and make up my own mind.
I'm very happy that it did what it did.
Me
and
too.
That's continued to, and that it will continue to do big business this
did
weekend.
Did you like it?
Oh, I liked it a lot. I mean, far more than I really anticipated. And I thought about it a lot, which doesn't happen a lot with a lot of superhero movies. Mm. But this one I did. We're going to talk about it today at Meet the Movie Press. But there was so much about it that I enjoyed. I think it's really fun, and I think it took time to get its story going. Simon, I somewhat agree with what you had said prior, with it takes a little time to get its gears going.
Yeah.
But I felt that was so necessary, and so many movies don't take the time to set things up. That movie took the time to put its players on the board, so you understood later on who these people are,
but also,
and I liked it more.
And also some other movies, they spend too long doing that, and then when it's like, here's a villain, here's a fight, da-da-da, defeated, end of this. And it's like, this felt like two movies put together and working quite seamlessly.
Yeah.
It was an origin story, and it was a movie that then led into something with, you have a nemesis, you have a reason for that rivalry, and it plays with a lot of things that it had set up. It kind of changes points if you've seen it. I won't talk too much about it because obviously spoilers for people who haven't seen it yet. But then a lot of other ones, they go like origins, oh, there's a bad guy, oh, they're going to have a fight, oh, the end of the movie. And it's neither one or the other.
No. And the supporting cast.
Supporting
was fantastic.
Cast, given a lot of room to breathe in this. They didn't feel like supporting characters.
No.
They felt like fully drawn characters who already have arcs, who are part of this, who are supporting, but not supporting cast, if you know what I mean.
There was no throwaways either.
Yeah.
There wasn't
very
a character.
Very little wastage.
That, no,
it was quite lean.
Which
for a movie with
I
so,
so
many
appreciated.
Characters.
It's true.
Yeah, really. I appreciated the nostalgia factor. I thought the soundtrack, both the score and the source music, I thought was a lot of fun.
I also want to point out that the nostalgia aspect of this movie is great because it's not like as in your face as like a lot of this, like the 80s movies where they have so many references. Mm. This one, like, I mean, yes, it's the blockbuster, the one we see in the trailer, but there's just like these little tie-ins to like a beeper and things of that nature where I felt were a lot more clever and weren't as obvious, especially there's the computer scene, which I thought was great.
Hysterical.
Yeah, where it's just loading. But yeah, I mean, it's a great film, and I think the star, another big star in this movie that I feel like is not getting enough love is Ben Mendelsohn.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, I think Ben Mendelsohn is, in a lot of ways, is kind of like the heart and soul of this movie.
Very much so.
Very genius casting. I know we're going to talk a lot about him on Anatomy of a Movie. And again, I don't want to give too much away, but yeah, I really thought that at the end, it made me want to see Avengers Endgame that much
more. Yeah.
So
let's get some chat responses. John Harrison saying Captain Marvel was a basic movie. BlackRock 316 saying I saw Captain Marvel, thought it was okay, but disappointed. I mean, I thought it was good. I didn't think it was amazing. John Harrison, I did not really do anything for me. Its success is definitely a surprise. Thought it would be 85 million. John Harrison, not 55. John Harrison, 1-5. Okay, I think you might be. I fall asleep on the keyboard. Zias Bilou, it was an okay film. BlackRock, just lots of fives. BlackRock 316 felt like a movie. I mean, should I call a medic? I don't know. Just don't know. BlackRock 316 saying felt like a movie that was made by four different people. Yeah, but a lot of these movies are, to be honest with you. It had an element of a lot of fingers in the pie for me, but not in a way where sometimes you have to shoehorn characters in some of the movies, like, you know, the big ensemble movies, which I think Captain America Civil War did particularly well. I think Infinity War kind of dropped the ball a little bit on that. John Harrison saying a lot of the cast was wasted. Actually, in this one, I didn't find that. I thought a lot of them were given more to do than purely being window dressing.
Especially her best friend.
Rambo.
Yeah,
absolutely.
There's a scene in which it's just the two of them. It's almost like in a diner. Maybe it's in her house.
Yeah, it's in the house and in the kitchen.
God, it was so emotional. It was great.
Jude Law and Annette Bening were wasted. I didn't think they were wasted.
I disagree
with that. I disagree with that.
And I'm in agreement with my co-host for the first time in a long time. I disagree as well.
I think they were used very nicely. Yeah. But also, I think out of Ben Mendelsohn's character and Jude Law's character, as much as I thought they were both great, I actually wanted to see more of Ben Mendelsohn's character. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing hopefully more from Jude Law's characters in other Avengers movies, and other Marvel movies, but we'll see. Zaius Bilou, I thought the action was good. Some people disagreeing with that. John Harrison, all of Nick Fury's intrigue as a character was wasted. You see, I think we're just going to have to agree to disagree on that one, which is entirely fine. Single Nerd, I very much enjoyed Captain Marvel. Brie Larson was a fantastic casting as Carol Danvers. The de-aging of Sam Jackson was out of this world, and 90s nostalgia was tops. I think you're probably more enthusiastic than I am. We're kind of gauging this, but I think, you know, valid point. Xavier Jones Jr., Fury was wasted for sure, and don't get me started on his Iron Goose. I mean, yeah, I thought that was kind of hokey. That was fine. But to be honest with you, when people say that Nick Fury was wasted in this movie, Nick Fury has more screen time, more to say, and more to do
than
any other movie his character has been in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, I think... And it wasn't a Nick Fury movie. No,
he was the sidecar to Captain Marvel's motorbike.
Yeah.
You know, an essential addition and a key part of that ride.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're the sidecar, you're the sidecar. If you're the motorbike, you're the motorbike.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I think for me, it was, you know, it's still in the if it was into three in the tables of Marvel movies, it was low end of my top three. It's certainly in that top end of the middle. But also when people say, oh, my God, there wasn't enough action. There's nothing wrong with some of these superhero movies, and the same goes for a lot of these big studio movies, say like Transformers and stuff like that, where it's not just action. You actually do develop characters, and it's been a complaint for me, and I know for other people previously, when you have a lot of action, but the characters aren't perhaps as well drawn. And I think it's a character, Carol Danvers and Captain Marvel, are characters that are being explored at this point and introduced. Not everything has to come that fully formed. Like, now you must understand everything about this very, very quickly, because we're going to go from 0 to 60 straight away. Fight, the end.
Right.
And it's like, oh, well, that was impressive, but I didn't have a lot to deal with there. Style over substance can sometimes be distracting with these. And we've seen it in other franchise and IPs as well. Scott, you look like you have a thought on this.
No, I just want to say that I think it's so interesting that so many people think this movie is mediocre. I mean, I've seen so many reactions of this over the last couple of days. I don't know what people were expecting from it. And I think people are kind of missing the point. You know, one of the reasons why this is such a big deal and is that with the exception of Wonder Woman, there just has not been a strong female superhero movie. And, you know, that's DC and this is Marvel. Mm-hmm. And Marvel is the big gun right now. I mean, I know DC is building up now. They're really doing a great job of that. But people are forgetting that this film serves as such an inspiration for so many women who have not gotten a chance to see these types of roles for
I think
women
they've been
on
underserved.
Screen.
I mean, you know, a lot of people are very fond of Black Widow, a character that I'm not massively fond of.
I actually don't think so.
But, like, but I think she's been horribly underserved. And I think, you know, the women in Black Panther were given something to do. And then in Avengers Infinity War, it was like they were window dressing. They really didn't have the meat and the might behind them that they had previously.
I also think it's interesting because, you know, people are going hard on this movie too. I feel like this is the first time Brie Larson has been in this type of big budget movie. Yes, I know she was in Kong, but like that to me, like she wasn't a lead in that. She was a supporting character.
I liked her in that movie too, though.
But it, you know, this is kind of like outside of her wheelhouse, and like maybe what some of the complaints that people are having are that just that they are not used to seeing her in this.
Yeah,
this type of material.
I thought that her chemistry with Sam Jackson. They have to be
so
friends
buddy,
off screen
yeah, they,
because
yeah, so buddy buddy.
Oh, they are. They're very, very good friends.
I
spoke to him about this because obviously they've done Kong together, and she directed him in something. And
Unicorn Star.
Yeah, and they have been friends for, you know, for a couple of years now. So they do genuinely have this natural chemistry. Which
yeah,
it does come across.
It, oh, like it, it carries the film in a lot of ways. Just their chemistry, their camaraderie.
But it wasn't too much. They didn't over-egg that pudding.
It was natural.
Yeah.
That's why you have to be friends if it's going to come off that natural on screen.
Ricky saying, actually a lot of chat in this. You know, it's kind of, again, he's kind of really splitting people. Good news, though. John Harrison says his keyboard is acting weird, lol. I meant to type 155 with numbers. No need for an ambulance. So John is fine, which is good. Thank you, John. Good to know.
We're not going to lose a viewer.
Absolutely. Wow. So we're down 50%. Okay, Nacho Man, Andy Cabbage. Jude is one of the best actors out there. He's always great, regardless of genre or movie or size of role. I mostly disagree with that. I do think that Jude is having something of a renaissance right now, and I'm really pleased with this. Zias Belusing agrees with me, which is great. BlackRock316, if you watch Captain Marvel movie again, those that liked it but might like it more the second time. I have to say, seeing it at the premiere the other week, I was very, very, very lucky to be invited along to that. I actually enjoyed it more the second time I saw it. That doesn't often happen with movies, and I had no real plans until I was invited to the premiere to watch it a second time so soon. But I have to say, I actually enjoyed it more.
I agree. I mean, you know, outside of, like, I'm trying to think what other Marvel movie. I don't know if there has been one where I rewatched it and I felt like it was just as strong the second time around or even better.
Mm.
I thought Captain Marvel was one of the rare ones that did that.
John Harrison saying, Brie Larson isn't the problem. I think the Marvel formula is really wearing thin with this movie. They're lacking some meat to them. I don't know why it just doesn't feel special. I mean, the thing is, there are a lot of these movies and it is quite difficult to, you know, to sort of set them apart from each other because they are standalone movies, but they're also part of a bigger thing. And we're just 2 years behind Wonder Woman, and, you know, so this isn't the first one out of the gates. We kind of have seen this, you know, strong. I mean, I know, don't compare the two, but we have kind of, you know, had a strong woman quite recently in superhero movies, and there's more coming. So the women in Black Panther,
you know,
as well.
Well, you know what I will have to say, though, this movie, Captain Marvel, has this really powerful scene near the end of the movie where she kind of gets all her powers and she uses them in full force.
Mm.
I know we can't say this and we shouldn't be saying this, but, like, there is no man's land scene in this movie, which I think will go down as probably one of the best scenes of the last decade in the movie.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I just got goosebumps when I watched that scene. And, I mean, there's something so inspiring about seeing that scene that even though, like, it's like a crowd cheering moment when she uses all her powers in this, it just doesn't have the same effect.
Jack Dennis saying, we'll get to that one in a second. Carlito Lee saying, welcome, Carlito. Brie wasn't right for Carol. You people find something special about her acting skills, and they clearly didn't show in Carol. Sadly, she filmed Endgame before this. I didn't think she was bad. I didn't think she was, like, it was a spectacular performance, but I think she was certainly fine. And again, you know, we are being introduced. You might know everything about Captain Marvel and Carol Danvers, but this is really for those uninitiated people who have to be introduced to this character. And sometimes if you come out of the gate with all the dynamism, where do you go from there?
Right.
So, you know, it's nice to see, and sometimes we do that with characters in series like Marvel and DC. When you come out at 60, it's like, where do you go with it? Because then any place you take it from there, and any actor will tell you this, if you come out going full throttle, you kind of fuck yourself over a bit because you don't really have a lot of wiggle room. You can either go backwards and people go, hey, what happened? Or you go sideways and people go, oh my God, it's the same. Yeah. Or when you go forward, it's like, why haven't you gone forward much? What happened to that? You came out so slow. So it's kind of difficult with that.
I also think a lot of the reason what hurts this movie for people who are not too familiar with the comics is that this character, and I know there's been a lot of chatter about this, this is not really a big character, you know?
Yeah.
It's not. And I mean, I know
Captain Marvel. It's not, but yet she's perhaps the most powerful character within the Marvel universe. Like, not just cinematic.
Mm.
She is literally one of the most powerful characters within that universe, period. And you're right, she was kind of, it's almost like Guardians of the Galaxy, they were B players in the Marvel universe until the movie. Same thing with Iron Man.
Yeah.
When you started off the MCU with Iron Man, he wasn't Spider-Man.
No.
And it became a hit. And I really liked Carol Danvers. But
even Thor, one of the bigger ones, was true. Like, you know, Thor, Ant-Man.
Right.
Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
You know, these are certainly level B or level C to the layman. Maybe to not layman. If you're a hardcore comic fan, but to the layman. And at the end of the day, these movies are made for a wider audience. People who obviously love them because they are big comic book fans, and people who know fuck all about Captain Marvel.
Sure. Yeah.
No absolutely. Idea. No yeah. idea. Yeah. Didn't even know she existed until they knew this movie was being made. Yeah. Same with Doctor Strange. Dude with a cape and a beard and fucking magic hands.
Yeah.
You know? Harry Potter with a mansion.
Pretty much.
Yes. But I mean, I love Doctor Strange. Okay, we need to move on from this because we could be here all day. I was asked by Jax asking, what is the movie that I didn't think Jude Law was particularly good in? We could be here all day.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I like Jude personally, professionally, and also as an actor. But let's not pretend that, you know, I mean, there's quite a few movies that came out in the last. Repo Man's a really good example. Repo Man, terrible film. Terrible film that even he's not great in.
Yeah.
You know, that's one. There was the Black Sea, I think it was.
Oh, I like
Black Sea.
Which was like the not a great movie. Yeah, the submarine movie.
I like that movie.
Yeah, it was
He wasn't I good in Vox. I like Vox Lux, but he wasn't good in it.
No. Oh, interesting stuff about that. Yeah. People asking about Dark Phoenix. We're going to get to Dark Phoenix over the next couple of weeks. I wouldn't get too excited about that. sorry, guys. Wouldn't get too excited about it. Take your levels of hope down a little bit. Okay, let's talk about the other big story this week. No Bohemian Rhapsody sequel in the works. Early this week, a story came out. Thanks, internet.
Yeah.
Where apparently someone did an interview and he was like, okay, they're looking at maybe doing a sequel to Bohemian Rhapsody. That's now being debunked. This is the thing about rumors. There is now no Bohemian Rhapsody sequel in the works. There wasn't really Bohemian Rhapsody sequel in the works because what do you do?
Why? It's Philadelphia.
Freddie Mercury. Yeah. The AIDS years, the death.
They're going to get the movie that a lot of people wanted.
Well, then it's like replacing with Adam. It's like you don't. That story, they left that story at about the right place.
Yes.
But what do you do? It's like it's basically where Freddie has a couple more years and then dies. And then they replace him with someone in the band. And that's not the Queen story. That's not the Freddie Mercury story. That would not make a good... That's the Grease 2. Yeah. I mean, okay, I kind of like Grease 2. But this is not the kind of movie where, oh, okay, we should carry on the story. Yeah. Spoiler, we know what happens. Yeah.
Radio Gaga happened.
Yeah.
Again, it's there isn't really... The band doesn't really evolve or go into anything. The only next part of the story is that he dies from AIDS.
Yeah. That's it.
That's the dark and gritty version we wanted.
That's what people wanted. It could have been talking
and,
about
and
it
by
why.
The people wanted, I mean critics. And yeah. That's it. Because no one else would see that movie.
Well, I really like Bohemian Rhapsody, but I'm like, this is not one of those stories where it ends and you have to then go, where's the second part?
Yeah.
No. We have so much more of their library to mine. Like... The follow-up to Radio Gaga, Radio Goo Goo. I mean, I
don't even think it's to do with the music. No, I just think it's there is this thing where if a film is successful, maybe you should look at doing a sequel. But sometimes you end stories at a point where it's like you know what the rest of this is not like. It's not that they've made one Star Wars movie and they set up another one and then they just never did another one or like Divergent. you know, this is not you know what happens Golden next, Compass. But you end it on a point, a really important point in it, and they explain what happens next at the end of the movie.
Right.
So it's you don't have to.
No.
Sometimes a full story can be half told because you know what the full story is.
You know, they never made a sequel, thankfully, to Midnight Run. Don't need it.
Midnight Run. Charles
so
Grodin.
Random.
I know, but we're just talking about
incorrect.
Huh?
Incorrect. They made a number of sequels to Midnight Run. I found this out quite recently.
Oh, no way.
Many of which went
theatrical?
Straight to DVD.
They were never theatrical.
They have made many sequels to Midnight Run. I did not know that.
I cried. I'm sorry. I'm going to cry right now.
They also made a sequel to Benchwarmers. Thank God for that.
And Backdraft 2.
Backdraft 2. Yeah. There was a trailer that came out this week for Backdraft 2. Backdraft 2. Backdraft 2. Feel
my wind.
Yeah.
my fart's on fire.
Yeah, because you know that only the brave did so well in theaters.
Just, I mean, this I believe is going straight to home entertainment.
Yeah. Surprise!
Yeah,
spoiler, plot twist. But yeah, I don't know. But yeah, so you're obviously very happy that there's going to be no Nohemian Rhapsody.
No.
Yeah, I like the Nohemian Rhapsody.
Thank you.
I like that. That was good.
I basically spent the whole week working on that pun.
Well, it worked.
That's all I've got.
It was good.
That's all I've got.
It's all right.
But yeah, I mean, Bohemian Rhapsody, nobody saw the, you know, I'm not surprised that kind of, you know, there might, people have asked that question because even the people behind the movie didn't see its success and, you know, thought Rami was great, but did not, I don't think they at all thought it was going to be Oscar nominated or as hugely successful at the box office as it was.
Fox didn't, for
Fox
sure.
Certainly
Fox
didn't.
Yeah,
no. They did not see that coming. But yeah, so, you know, there you go. Okay, other news this week. A Forrest Gump Bollywood remake is in the works. Could it actually work? Question mark, our slash film this week. There have been a lot of people don't know this, but there have been a lot of Western movies that have been remade for Indian cinema, for the Indian subcontinent. So when people, I know a lot of people saw this week, I'm like, you're going to remake this as a Bollywood movie, rah, rah, rah. And I'm like, this is not the first time that this has happened.
Right.
It's happened many, many times. I would actually be kind of curious to see what they do with this if they did a remake. I quite like Bollywood movies. It's not an area of great expertise or great passion for me, but I do enjoy them. Indian cinema is surprisingly good. It's very good. There's some great rom-coms and stuff that have actually just popped up on, I think it was Amazon Prime I was looking at the other day. If you're not aware of Indian cinema, you should really check it out. Seriously.
And every once in a while, one comes out at the box office and winds up doing really great.
Absolutely.
Too.
In fact, some theaters throughout some of them larger, through like Fathom Events, they showcase Bollywood movies and they sell out when they do these one night events at these at theaters. And I believe it's AMC Cinemark Regal. So that's there is an audience.
I grew up in Piscataway, New Jersey, and there's a small town next to me.
Piscataway, out of here.
Yeah. They actually have a very large Indian population.
Really?
And one of the theaters literally holds two or three of their screens just to show Bollywood movies.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, it's the same in certain parts of London and Birmingham in the UK, where they do dedicate, you know, because it often happens in the UK where if there's an Indian movie that's coming out, and it can be Bollywood, it can be Indian action or whatever, they do end up often in the top 10 of movies that are seen that week. Because, you know, there are large communities who will turn out for these movies. And it's the same here when occasionally a Hispanic or Latina movie will make the top 10 because of the sheer volume of that particular target audience.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of Latinx movies that come out that a lot of audiences don't go to see, but are very, very good.
Absolutely.
It's funny, people will go like, oh, Roma, because it's arty and Mexican. Then we'll watch that. But, oh, here's a comedy. And some of them are brilliantly outlandish and a lot funnier than some of the stuff that Hollywood puts out sometimes.
Absolutely.
You know, and you don't have to be Mexican or generally Latino or Hispanic to understand these movies. They're just funny situations.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they laugh at our culture.
Sure.
Which is fine, because if you want to laugh at someone else's, you should be able to take a joke about
Absolutely.
Your own. Which is, yeah, it's really important. Zais Bilu saying, Nollywood Nigeria already made a remake of it, I think. Yeah, I mean, Nigerian cinema, Nollywood. There are some really good Nigerian movies that come out. Nigeria has some really funny comedy stuff, but also they make some really interesting dramas and action movies.
Really?
Yeah. Really interesting dramas and action movies. A lot of the guys who work in Nollywood have really studied, and obviously a lot of it is considerably at lower budgets than Hollywood, so it can look a little bit hokey or less polished. But they've been watching, they've grown up on American movies, and they're trying to replicate that kind of thing. So again, that's another area to really look into. It will be very alien to many people, but it's worth checking out. Macho Man Andy Cabbage saying A Star Is Born apparently has been remade by Bollywood. Wouldn't surprise me. Jack Dennis saying, good morning, Miles. Almost Famous sequel set in the late 80s. Could be interesting. I love Almost Famous. You know, I think it's worth checking out. Zais Bilu saying, I love Nigerian movies. Yeah. It's funny, a lot of people look to Asia for world cinema, and they kind of completely forget sort of, you know, the African subcontinent and the Indian subcontinent.
Oh, yeah.
They always go towards, you know, China, Japan, Korea. It's worth checking out. Seriously, if you enjoy getting a bit more diverse in your viewing habits, and you won't like all of them, And not all of them are good. I'm not gonna say that everything coming out of, you know, sort of South America is great. There's, you know, like Hollywood, there's a lot of shit. But there's some really interesting stuff. Really interesting stuff. Nice. Scott, you look pensive, like you want to say something.
Oh, I was just going to say, are we? I'm just curious because I didn't see it on the rundown sheet, and I know you don't like to add things in, but I think we should talk about Daniel Cretton getting the Shang-Chi movie.
Yes, let's talk about that
for Marvel.
Yeah.
You know, I've gone on record many of times that I'm a big supporter of Short Term 12, and it's kind of, I felt like it was kind of fitting. Because we were talking about Brie earlier, and now we're talking about Rami. So, you know, this is a man who has not done a lot of films, Short Term 12 and The Glass Castle. And to actually have a Asian lead superhero film, I think, is going to be a big deal.
Yep.
And with a director like him, I think he's going to do a fantastic job with it. Again, what I've loved about – this is something that I've loved with both Marvel and DC is that they've taken directors and they put them outside of their wheelhouse and made them do these movies. There's Shazam's coming out soon, which was directed by David F. Sandberg, who started off making YouTube videos.
Yeah.
And, you know, essentially –
and horror.
Yeah.
Predominantly.
And, you know, to see him kind of transition into a big, huge movie is great. And – I think there's a lot of expectations for this film. This director, I feel, has been very underneath the radar. And I think he's one of my favorite directors. And I'm really excited to see this movie.
It seems quite funny that there are a couple of areas, and we know obviously with, you know, Miles Morales, we have, you know, a different racial makeup when it comes to some really large characters, and obviously we've had representation in Black Panther. I think it makes perfect sense, and the time is now.
Sure.
And I'll be honest with you, I think there's going to be less controversy and less like, ooh, comeback from this, because for some reason, when it comes to sort of Asians and action, the industry and the audiences have always been open to that. Like, absolutely, from back in the 70s, the likes of Bruce Lee and stuff like that. It's always fascinating to me. But we don't have that out there. And I think let's fill that niche. There's a hole here that people, I think, will be really interested in. If you want action.
I think, well, also, I just real quick, I mean, what's interesting about this news is that this is going to be the first, the first time that Marvel is going to actually beat DC to something. Because, you know,
Good point, actually.
Yeah, because Wonder Woman really, like, set the bar.
It did.
And I mean,
absolutely.
And, you know, Captain Marvel came a couple years later. And, you know, I just saw Shazam a couple weeks back. Mm. And there, my friend Lewis from Nuke the Fridge, there you go, shout out for you, buddy. He said at the end of the movie, he said, you know, the representation in this film, and I mean, there's Asian characters, black characters, and they're all coming together at the end of this film without giving anything away. And it's so refreshing to see that. And it's done in such a way where it's not showy. You know, like, it's not like, oh, look what we did
here. It's not signposted everywhere.
So to kind of see, hear his comment, and then a couple days later, hear this news that this is happening, I was kind of like, wow. Like, it's interesting. They're actually got a leg up for once.
But that's the way it should happen.
I know.
You know what I mean? We should just come to watch and accept it. It's like, I know I've said this before, when you watched a movie like A League of Their Own, there was no, like, you didn't go, oh, wow, it's an all woman. You went because it was a damn good movie, number one, that happened to have a fantastic all-female cast that was based on a true story about all-woman baseball team. And it wasn't showy. It wasn't, you know, you had Penny Marshall attached to it. So that's the way movies were. We didn't put up big signs saying this is an all blah, blah, blah cast. And that's the way it should be. You should get an audience in by it being a good movie, you know, regardless of, you know, the cast and the variety of people in a movie should be great, but people should like the movie, and it shouldn't come off as, like, medicine.
I know, and it shouldn't feel like there's an agenda.
Correct.
Which I feel like this is a big problem in Hollywood right now, is that everything feels like it has an agenda.
That's a perfect way to put it.
Need someone to help on that. John Harrison, embrace the fact that Ezra Miller is gay and lean into the fact that he's the first mainstream LGBTQ superhero movie. I hope so. But, you know, there'll be people that don't hope so. Animation dude, which is, you know, okay. Yeah, yin and yang. Or yin and I'm a phobic. animation dude, it'll be interesting to see how much Marvel retcons of Netflix's Iron Fist to craft Shang-Chi. Xavier Jones Jr. saying, I agree with Scott. I like how both companies choose directors. Yeah, really, really good point. And we're going to move on from this very quickly. Ozias Bilu saying, I hope Shang-Chi is grounded. Can't wait for that. No, absolutely. I'm the character I'm really super psyched about. Jack Dennis, where's Fantastic Four 2? Okay, very briefly before we go into box office that weekend. We are going to talk about... do you want to talk about this? Talk about this, the fact that there's a Doctor Doom movie plot. Apparently the Doctor Doom movie is on hiatus, and obviously because it's a
Shocker.
Fox property and Disney. I would actually, and here's my point on this, this is coming from Noah Hawley this week. We haven't had, and correct me if I'm wrong, a Marvel movie where the titular character has been the villain.
No.
So it hasn't been a villain movie. Disney have obviously done it, and they're doing it with live action stuff. But we haven't had anything in the MCU that... You know, in the new MCU that has been focused around the villain.
Closest
it's always around
is
the
this
heroes.
Last Avengers movie. That's the closest thing you got so far.
Yeah.
So I think actually the one reason I would like to see a Doctor Doom movie is if it was Doctor Doom as the main character, as the driving force, rather than just being the nemesis and being the yang to the yin. I'd like to see that. And I think that could be the core, potentially, if we're going to look at doing Fantastic Four again, doing it that way.
The truth is that I've always found villains more interesting than superheroes.
And often underserved in both DC and Marvel.
And I mean, I would love to see standalone villain movies. Yeah. I'm surprised that we haven't done this yet.
The Joker's coming out later on.
I know, but it's the only character. I mean, everyone knows the Joker. It's like blah, 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 blah. I'm talking about, like, how about the Penguin movie or the Riddler movie or, like, I don't know, like, Magneto the movie. Like, Magneto as an awesome villain.
I guess the closest that's come to it is really Suicide Squad, where they are not heroes. Right. They're like the alternative heroes, but they still end up being over the bad guy. Right. But anyway, okay, let's move on. We've got about 7 minutes left on the show this week. I want to talk about, we've obviously covered Captain Marvel box office, likely to be number one again this week. Yeah. Not a lot of competition. A couple of movies are being released this week, though. 5 Feet Apart, let's talk about that one first of all. You saw this, Scott.
I did. I enjoyed it. It's not fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's exactly like the trailers lead you to believe, and Haley Lou Richardson proves once again she's a remarkable talent, and I hope her career takes off someday soon.
You haven't seen this at all?
No, I stay away from disease hospital movies.
It's, yeah, I can understand.
I mean, I'm not. It's nothing against this movie in particular.
Yeah. It's also this week, Captive State, which this and 5 Feet Apart are movies that had their reviews released very, very late in the day.
Did they even do?
There was a review.
Some people have seen it. Today. Yeah. But this was a movie I was trying to see, and it hasn't really had any reviews. But apparently reviews that were made available were held back till the very last minute, like the minute that it opened in movie theaters. Yeah. So Captive State, which, to be honest with you, has an interesting cast and obviously the director of the Apes movies. Right. And yet this just appears to just come out not really. I don't know what happened with this movie.
It's no focus, idea. Too.
But it's, it's just like being dumped in the schedule for no apparent reason. So not really sort of a lot of anticipation for that one.
I want to know what's going on with studios right now, in all fairness. Focus is doing this, and then also they're dropping a Focus, not a Focus feature, a Fox Searchlight movie, like either next week or the week after with Keira Knightley.
Aftermath,
which I heard nothing about until like today. I looked on Facebook and someone posted about it.
That one I can sort of kind of... That might just be caught in the Disney Fox thing. I mean, you know, the Focus movie, I have no idea.
I don't know.
Like, why? I only heard of that Captive State not too long ago. Who's even in it? You say fascinating cast.
Like John Goodman, what's his face from Moonlight? I've completely blanked his name for a second.
Mahershala Ali?
No.
The kid, the middle one. I can't remember his name either. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, but it's you know, it looks like it's a big movie, as in scale.
Right.
But it's just hanging there. Okay, so Wonder Park is also coming out this week. That's another movie that's been dumped. Obviously, there are allegations of inappropriate behavior by the director of that movie. That story came out yesterday, so it hasn't actually got really a director that they're pushing out.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, Wonder Park is.
I know the movie.
Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing a lot about it on TV, but I'm seeing no real interest in that at all. So looking at box office, we're going by Box Office Mojo this week. Captain Marvel's going to be number one. Wonder Park is looking out of the new releases to come out on top with around 13 million, followed by 5 Feet Apart, which is going to be looking at about 10.5 million by their estimates. But yeah, where is the other one? There's a Captive State is coming in, what, around sixth? With about 4.5 million. And then right behind that is a Spanish language comedy, a sequel, No Manchas Frida 2, which is 3.4 million. Which again is only above like Lego Movie 2, Alita Battle Angel, and Green Book, which have all been out for quite a while.
And Green Book just came out on Blu-ray. I just got it.
And it's likely to be in the top 10 this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, so very interesting and slightly weird weekend. At the box office.
It's a lull between
Dumbo,
Avengers is coming out. Us is coming out. Yeah, so, you know, just.
And then the week after that, or 2 weeks after that, Shazam as well. So yeah. I think it's interesting to be around that.
They're also doing, aren't they doing preview, which is a ballsy move by them on the
2 weeks before Shazam. Yeah, that's next weekend. Is it next weekend or weekend after?
I think it's next weekend.
They haven't done one of those
they did it for Aquaman. That's not true.
Did they really?
That was the last time. Again, Warner Brothers.
And then they did it for Bumblebee.
Wow. What do I know?
They did do it for one Bumblebee, actually.
Yeah.
Good point. Yeah.
And it's movies that they believe in.
Right.
You know? And
I remember, like, in the 80s and 90s, they used to do these sneaks all the time, especially in the summertime.
I miss those.
Me too. And you get a double feature.
Yeah.
You'd get to stay for that feature and stay for the feed. And it's usually the same studio because the money that they make for Shazam mm-hmm. goes into the other Warner movie that it preempts because that's what they usually try to preempt.
For me this weekend, it's three movies coming out that I'm just surprised that Netflix didn't buy. Obviously, there is a Netflix movie that is out this week with
Triple Threat,
which looks like it's got actually a pretty good cast. Ben Affleck leading that cast, so I'm going to check that out on Netflix this week. But not a lot of reviews around for that movie either. And the reviews that I have seen,
you can
also
watch The Highwayman.
Yes, which is at South by Southwest. Yeah, I'm not really that particularly excited about
that. Wait. If you have problems sleeping, put it on.
Oh, I'll help you. Wonderful. So a lot of people also talking about some other things in the chat. We really appreciate that. We really appreciate you as well, is telling people about the show. We'll get back to that in just a second. But Animation Dude, wanted to get this just before we finish. With a book deal already signed, how long until a movie based on the infamous college cheating scandal is announced? That, this week, was a tremendous story. It is so wrong.
Yeah.
So wrong.
It's angering.
And
but no
just,
surprise. I don't know why anyone's surprised.
No, I'm not. It's weird. I had this conversation with my neighbors going, I'm not surprised, but at the same time, it doesn't piss me off any less.
Yeah.
Now it's brought out to the light. And like, I knew, you know, I went to Boston University. And there was a lot of money at Boston University. And I know how I got in to BU. And it was so funny because Howard Stern was talking about, I was an idiot. I had to go to this College of Basic Studies school at BU. And I'm like, I did too. I had to go in through all this. And to hear about such forgery and like photoshopping people on like water polo, and they were saying
there was a guy who was a pole vaulter, and it wasn't even the kid. And then the pole vaulter, who really is a pole vaulter, is like going, "That's me," and it's like his picture's on his mother's fridge at home. But I'm like, surely if you're not a great pole vaulter or don't even pole vault, and then someone goes, "Oh yeah, Brian, you're going to be on the school pole vaulting team," he's like, "Why?"
Yeah. So
apparently you're amazing at pole vaulting. Fucking what? Yeah. What? I'm what now?
And the guy, the head of
$25 million.
Thanos is his name. Thanos. He doesn't feel so good. Okay, guys, we need to wrap the show up. Thank you so much for everybody.
We didn't talk about the trailers this week.
We're not. We're just not going to do it. Okay. I mean, no, let's very quickly actually talk about the Avengers Endgame trailer. We'll just take a couple more minutes to do that because I did give that a shout out at the top of the show and it's in the show description. So I have to say, after being quite underwhelmed by Infinity War, as much as I enjoyed it, I was a little bit underwhelmed. This is really something that I'm getting particularly excited about. Yeah. It sets it up really nicely. And I think the trailers give you enough, and this one especially, but without giving too much away, without too much spoiler. It's a really nice prologue. You are not going to... I can tell you're going to disagree with me on this one, Scott.
I do. I feel like they're just put this trailer out just because the movie's coming out.
Yeah.
And I think, again, I give Mendelsohn a lot of love. He comes up in my fucking Facebook feed too much. But, like, he pointed out, like, this is just kind of like a push for, like, Captain Marvel again at the end of the trailer. But, like, it actually put it best. It's, like, kind of like someone talking. Old footage. Someone talking. Old footage. And it just, it does enough to build up expectations, but I didn't feel like, oh my God, this is amazing!
Which is why I'm actually looking forward to it more for those exact same reasons, by the fact that it's like, love this movie! Love this movie! Yeah. Come on, love this movie! You've got to love this movie! And I didn't feel it's pushing as hard as some of the other ones.
Well, yeah. A couple of things about it. It doesn't. And a couple of things about this, too, is that there was a wonderful article written in, I believe it's this morning's Hollywood Reporter, I forget the author's name, but they wrote about how little they did to this, for the trailer and the marketing going forward. Now, from what I understand, they're not even using footage. Like, they're only using the first 15 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
They're telling you nothing about the movie. This is the way trailers used to be made. So I go back to that. I am with you, Simon. I thought the trailer was fantastic, especially after watching Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Leading into this trailer, I was surprised the trailer wasn't on Captain Marvel, to be honest
with you.
Yes. It was really, that was a missed opportunity for the big screen. But I liked the trailer a lot because it just... It ramped up excitement without giving anything really away.
Yeah.
We knew that Captain Marvel's going to be in this movie. I'm in. I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm not saying that I'm not in. I'm just saying, like, in terms of a trailer, I don't even think it needs to exist. I think it's just...
No, but I think there are so many movies that fall into that category these days where the money is already printing itself.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? They don't need. I mean, they could literally do nothing to promote this movie, and it would still make an absolute shed load of money.
I agree.
So, I mean, but I think then this is a really great opportunity, and like you say, goes back to some of the trailers of the old days where it doesn't show you all the great bits. And I think that is something where many IPs have fallen over in the last couple of years by putting some of the really great, captivating, original, and dynamic scenes in the trailer. When you see them in the movie, where they're meant to most have the context, the highest impact, that impact is lost. You know the jokes, they're funny, the laughs are less. You know the action scenes, what they're going to look like, you have an idea. I don't need that. I want you to blow me away when I sit there.
Agreed.
Like, you show me something I have never seen before, not that I've just been watching 20 times on my phone.
Right.
Spectacle is... King.
Is it true that the runtime for this is 3 hours?
I think it is.
That's what they're rumoring, yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting a catheter fitted. I'm getting a catheter fitted
Ouch.
For this.
Ouchie. Yeah. Avengers
piss pants. On that note, Dimitri, who are you? Where can we find you?
You can find me right here, the best show about the business for the business, Popcorn Talks Meet the Movie Press, and also on Popcorn Talks Anatomy of a Movie. Later today, we will be actually discussing, reviewing, and breaking down Captain Marvel. Can't wait.
Scott Menzel, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TheOtherScottM. You can also go to WeLiveEntertainment.com.
My name is Simon Thompson. You can find me at ShowbizSimon on Instagram and Twitter. You can also follow the show on Meet Movie Press at Twitter. Really appreciate it. And as I say always, the whole reason we're here is because you're here. If there's not enough of you or you aren't here, there's no point in us doing it. So thank you so much for your support. We really appreciate it. Please do tell everybody and anybody that will listen that you like this show. We really want to grow and we really want to continue to be here, and that's how that will happen or not happen. So thank you so much indeed. We really appreciate it. We will see you next week here when we're going to be talking about many other things, including Us, which you've already seen.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to pee my pants. Have a great weekend, buddy.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.